My name is Danny Esslinger, as you guys probably read. I'm on staff here at Foothills, and I oversee the counseling department. I've done a lot of youth ministry here in the past, and it's a pleasure to be with you to talk about parenting and motherhood. Let me start by just opening up in prayer. So, Father, we just want to ask you to equip us, Lord, with what we need right now, Lord, and what you intend for us to gain out of this time and this workshop. Father, we pray, help us to be aware of what you're doing in our children and how we can get on board with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, moms, that is an incredible title and role that just goes to the core of just your identity, right? And your whole life, much of your life revolves around this amazing responsibility and purpose. One of the things that makes parenting challenging is that it seems to me, I don't know how many of you had this experience, that just when you start to feel like you're getting comfortable, you're adjusting, you're getting things figured out, you kind of have things dialed in, your children change and the game changes and things aren't comfortable anymore and you don't feel like you have it dialed in anymore. Things are, as a parenting, things are going to always be in flux, and especially the more kids you have, the more you're gonna feel like that. So, there's a lot to learn as parents that are just like general principles that you need to know that don't change. General targets that you're always aiming for. That's not what this workshop's about. But I will tell you that my wife Nitsa, right here, my beautiful wife, raise your hand. Okay, she doesn't want the attention right now. We're going to be leading a parenting class starting this coming Friday. So that's the 20th, I believe, on Friday nights for 5 weeks. 26th, yeah, today's the 20th. I had that both of those numbers in my mind. So, so the kids' stuff, the child care would be all taken care of, and you guys could learn just all the really important principles of raising children 0 to 10. So would encourage you guys, if you would like to go to that, we'd love to have you. But today, for this workshop, we're going to focus on the different stages of our kids' growth and just how we grow along with them and adjust with them. And we're going to look at specific needs that our kids have at each stage that correspond to what God's doing. So, if you're going to build a house, you're going to have a house built, there's very specific stages of the building of that house. There's the excavation and there's the, laying of the foundation. And then there's the, building upon that foundation. And there's all these different phases and layers that must be done in a very specific purpose. If you change the order or you skip one, there's, everything falls, everything fails. And in the same way, God has set up human development to kind of work like that. There's things that have to, be put in place that are foundational, and then you build on that, and then you build on that. And the ultimate goal of God is to raise up a mature, well-balanced, confident, filled with faith and love for Him, human being that can be independent and start their own family. That's the end goal that God has in mind in all of this. And so we want to know, what are the important parts of each stage? We're, as parents, often more aware of the physical things, like what are those milestones that our infant has to hit, at what time, and, when do they lift their head, when do they crawl, where are they at with that, where are they at with their growth? We take to the doctors, we understand puberty and the physical changes and help prepare them for that, but so often, parents are unaware of the other things that are going on in each stage that are important to happen, questions that are being asked that are important to be answered, and sometimes we're unaware of these things that are more important because it's really the formation of their personality and the building of just how they see themselves, their self-image. So that's what this is going to focus on today. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 4 says, there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every matter under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. And it goes on through all these things. And then in verse 11 says that God has made everything appropriate or good in its time. And so we as parents, we want to know, what are these ordained times for the life of our kids? What are those, when, you know, what are we to be doing at each stage? What's appropriate and good in each stage? Ephesians chapter 4, 29 says this, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but if there's any good word for edification according to the need of the moment, say that so that it will give grace to those who hear. And parents, we're wanting to understand what is the need of the moment in each age. So that's what we're here, because we want to know, how can we respond in a way that edifies? How can we respond in a way that gives life and matches that need? So when it comes to talking about the stages of development, the Bible doesn't give us a clean list of, you know, those things. It's kind of like, you know, it is in the realm of science. We know that there's a creator, a God who ordered things according to his laws, spiritual, moral, physical, and he's left it to us to observe and to discover the order. And in the same way, with this, we do have to rely somewhat on human observation of what do we see in each stage. And actually, that's what the study of psychology is the study of people and humans. And you know, I share with probably many of you some real caution or skepticism when you get into what does psychology say about human development, because you're going to find in probably most cases right now, compared to pop psychology, you know, if you compare the Bible and a biblical approach to parenting to what's popular, what the experts in psychology are saying, they're diametrically opposed almost in every area, or a lot of important ones at least. But at the same time, we can gain some important knowledge through just what can be observed through this, the natural development and stages that kids do go through. And so some of what is on this page, probably the bulk of it that isn't from Scripture, is based on something that's widely accepted in psychology. Eric Erickson would be the name if you want to look into it more. But again, I'm just acknowledging the fact that we're taking some of what has been observed, but we're also realizing that this goes right in line with what the Bible teaches, and we'll look at that. So moving right along. Do you know, the truth is that many parents find, as they are learning these types of things, that they've actually been working against what God's doing in each age and stage. And we want to make sure we're not neglecting what God's, you know, what God's trying to do. And we definitely want to make sure we're not working against that. We want to work with God. We want to get on board with Him. We want to partner with Him in what He's trying to establish in our kids at each stage. So let's look at the ages and stages of children, and you got the handout, I hope. There's more in the back table there. Let's look at infancy, start off right there. What is the most important thing right away that needs to happen in human development? And you see that the important thing here is learning from birth to 15 months is learning a sense of trust instead of mistrust. The major question in this stage is, can I trust the people around me? And we have support of Scripture here, Psalm 22:9. It says, you made me trust upon my mother's breasts. And so this is a stage that God has designed to nurture trust, because it's so foundational. What can God do in our life if we don't develop the ability to trust, the ability to bond with other human beings, to bond with Him and others? So the major event in this stage would be feeding, because that's the most basic need that you know, that is met. Guys, babies are just completely dependent for everything upon their parents at first, right? And this is what God is doing. And the basic virtue is hope, that they are gaining the ability to hope that they'll have all that they need, that they're heard, that they're seen, that they're loved, And the key in this stage is that they would bond first with, and mainly with mom, right? But mom and dad, and family, and provide, and the key is that they'd be provided physical and emotional security. So the practical things that we can do at this stage, the most important things that fosters that trust, is a lot of touch, holding, you know, massaging, skin-to-skin contact. All that stuff is really an important part of bonding. Research shows that actually that touch and that bonding is critical for the development of their brain and their nervous system. And it's also been shown, there's been cases where babies have been provided just, you know, all the physical needs. They've been fed, they've been cleaned, but they haven't been spoken to or touched other than that, and those babies die. That's what happens when babies do not get that nurture, that affection, being spoken to, and being bonded with. So, you know, God designed a mom to be able to feed and to bond in this, at the same time, with that skin-to-skin contact in such an important way. And that's the ideal for that purpose of learning to trust. Of course, that's not always possible. And so even when, you know, it has to be formula or the bottle, it's really important to still, you know, to still make that connection, make eye contact, do skin to skin, especially right, you know, at the very youngest stage of it, part of infancy. Responding is just a really important part of building trust, you know, just meeting their needs. What is their need? You know, that's really what this stage is about, is meeting a lot of needs and changing a lot of diapers and soothing them, because newborns, infants, don't have the ability to soothe themselves, and so they actually gain the ability to soothe themselves by getting that comfort from us and us soothing them, and pretty soon they can trust and rest and gain that ability, kind of gain the confidence to soothe themselves. So responding to their crying, I mean, and generally, you know, we want to respond to the baby's cry, you know, just when they're crying, you know. Talking to them affectionately, mirroring their movements and emotions, responding to their cues. You know, again, studies have really shown just the impact of when they're trying to express themselves, the difference it makes when a parent just kind of doesn't show any kind of mirroring versus when a parent, like, you know, responds or mirrors or smiles or just has some kind of an engagement with them, how much that feeds that need to connect, even though they're not talking or anything like that. So playing with them, that kind of thing. Now, what is a mistake that is some parents make in this stage is they get afraid, well, if I do all this, they're going to get spoiled, and so I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want them just to think that they rule everything. But if we understand this is what this stage is for and their day is coming, they're going to learn that, you know, life doesn't revolve around them. That's just not this stage's purpose. So that's actually a really important thing to learn, I think, because their foundation of trust is being built. And, you know, really us building, as parents, fostering that trust and then protecting that trust as they grow through the older stages is really what is going to make it much easier for them to trust God. It's almost going to be a natural transition to trust God, because the parents serve as kind of a God figure in the life of a kid. I mean, that's their first image of God is us. And so we're helping prepare them to trust God and to trust other people who are trustworthy. So let's look at the next stage, which is toddler. In this stage, they're to learn a sense of autonomy. You know, that is the quality of being self-governed, being in control of self. And this is the stage, this is where they kind of realize that they're a separate person, different than mom. Like, up till then, it's almost like they're not even aware that they're their own person, that they feel like they're just kind of connected and part of mom. And now the question they're asking is, can I do things myself, or am I reliant on the help of others? And it's important for them to know, yes, you can do things for yourself. This is the time. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." And so the major event here, or the most basic thing they learn to control by themselves first, is their potty training, going to the bathroom, and so they're learning self-control. They're learning that they actually have been given by God the ability to control things, whether it's their bodily functions or whether it's their their behavior, or their tantrum. Like, you're patiently and lovingly answering that question. Yes, you can actually do this on your own. You can control yourself. And so the key in this stage is that we're shaping the will, because this is when the discipline starts. Right around a year and a half, this is when you start actually parenting in that way, right? That's why it says stage one, it starts in the toddler, goes through preschool years, is loving discipline. And this is where you start as a parent, setting boundaries, and you start enforcing those boundaries through consequences that are helping them learn good behavior. If you're going to wait till your kids can understand good behavior, you're going to wait too long, okay? And you're going to have, it's going to be harder to curb bad behavior. They can actually learn, the boundaries through consequences, that you give them. When they can understand your yeses and your nos and your instructions, before they can actually understand the value of it. So you're shaping the will and affirming their personhood. You're answering that question, yes, you can. And this is the stage in toddler or preschool where you really want to avoid getting upset at them for making just mistakes or making a mess and spilling things like that, spilling the milk or whatever. This is a stage where you don't want to give them a sense of shame or guilt. There'll be time. They're going to learn. There's going to be the training. There's going to, it's going to kick in. So let's look, I will say with potty training, it's important, again, not to be to react when they have accidents. You take it in stride. You didn't react when they soiled their diapers, and, you shouldn't react when they're, acting like a toddler does at this, like doing what is expected in this stage. So So this is a good stage to start allowing them to make choices. Of course, within a range of choices, right? Not whatever do you want to eat in this whole, it's more like, would you want this or this? These are all the healthy choices or whatever. Or do you want to wear this or this? And you want to start giving them choices in what to do for play, what to wear, what to eat, because it's important they start realizing that they can make decisions, and then you can affirm them that those decisions are fine or okay or good, so that they are growing in that confidence in doing that. This is where you want to start them playing independently, even if it's for very short times under your supervision, so they can just start learning how to do things on their own, activities and play. Because if you do that here, it's going to help set the stage for their future tasks, and they're going to be more willing and confident to try to do, to make achievements when it comes to school or relationships and things like that. And I just think it's really important at this stage, really good, just to child-proof your house really, really well, so that you really minimize as much as possible the amount of boundaries and make things simple. In the discipline area, make it more simple. So what's another mistake parents make in this stage is they fail to discipline. See, this is when discipline begins. This is when they really start needing to learn they need to have their will shaped. And some parents are, probably most parents have to confront their fear. Well, I don't want to scar them, or you know, this is just hurts me to give them any kind of consequence, you know, to see them in pain, and I just don't want to do that. Or what if they don't like me? Or all kinds of things parents might think because maybe they didn't grow up with a healthy form of discipline, and so it kind of seems scary. But it really comes down to where we'll place our trust. You know, will we trust God and what he says? And I can't go into all of the scriptures on discipline and the importance of it, but, you know, God tells us that a loving parent disciplines their kids, and it's unpleasant in the moment, but it produces the fruit, the peaceful fruit of righteousness, and it really is down to us. Are we willing to obey and trust God when our kids enter this stage? Or are we going to trust, you know, just our own understanding or the experts that are telling us to be permissive and don't do anything? Now, the experts, they don't acknowledge sinful nature. And so they just think, well, kids are just kind of blank slates, and so you just kind of let them go and do it on their own. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of discipline is what removes it. If we kind of just look at them and go, well, they're cute, like, I don't want to discipline them right now, you know, the problem you get yourself into is what's cute now, that, you know, sin being manifested in, you know, at age 2 or 3, is going to grow because you didn't deal with it or remove it through discipline, and then it's going to start manifesting in more shameful, embarrassing, and difficult ways as they get older. And so the Bible says that we should discipline, you know, our kids when there's still that opportunity to do so before it gets harder. So let's now look. Now, guys, I just want to say that this is an overview. This is an introduction. There's so much of what I'm saying that I'm just scratching the surface, and it's just, you know, as you guys are looking at the different stages, is a lot of research left upon you guys to figure out, you know, practical applications, or going to the parenting class, you'll learn a lot about discipline and practical applications there. So let's look at we're at preschool. They're to learn a sense of initiative. The question they're asking, am I good or bad? And Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so the major event and what's really important is that they have opportunities to explore and to play, you know, to explore the limits of their physical ability, climbing, and things like that. A lot of times parents make the mistake of just being too cautious. Not, I don't want my kid to do anything. I don't want my kid ever to have any risk of being hurt or anything like that. And they aren't able to kind of, you know, go and kind of grow in their sense of their ability to try things. Or they think, oh, am I bad for trying this because I'm a boy and I want to climb on everything? And so, understandable, we got to keep our kids safe. But we also got to make sure we're given a little bit more leash in this stage of what's reasonable. They're learning a sense of purpose. And we're promoting creativity within limits. So we're kind of helping them understand that they're okay, that the ideas they come up with, the things they want to do, this is a time where creative play is really important. Encouraging imaginative play and stuff like that is encouraged and affirmed in them. So the mistake, parents make one or two mistakes, or these are the couple of mistakes you can make, is that either be dismissive or discouraging, or why would you do that, or just, you know, shaming them when they're trying new things rather than encouraging them, finding the good in what they're doing, and that kind of thing. Or parents also sometimes over-direct them and rather than let them, you know, do more on their own. And that actually can stunt them gaining a sense of that initiative and confidence in their abilities. If we're communicating, I don't trust you to do anything, right? Then they're going to think, well, I'm just not, I can't do it. I need to rely on other people rather than learn initiative. So let's look at the next one, the grade school. Age 6 through 11, this is when they're learning a sense of accomplishment and competence. and they're asking, how can I be good? And the Bible says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so this is the stage in grade school where there's an increase in, you know, their academic involvement or what they're doing in school. And so this is an important place where the more that they feel like they can read and they can get through school and the more success they can feel, then that the more confidence they can have in their accomplishment and their competence. And this is when interaction with friends becomes more important because they're actually comparing with their friends, you know. And sometimes you look at them. I mean, right, in each of these stages, you can think of things that the kids say, like, you know, in the toddler stage, like, I can do it myself, like, you know. And you're thinking, like, no, let me, you know, you can't do it yourself is what we want to say, but I was thinking earlier today, man, I wish I could go back and say, yeah, you do it more, and I'll take a picture, and this will be fun, and we'll watch, you know what I mean? And it'll be, you know, rather than, no, you're not quite, let me do it, and, you know, that kind of thing, because, you know, in some ways, I was unaware of what the purpose of that stage was, you know, and we're all growing and learning, and all of us have failed to some extent, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a sec. But, we want them to, the other thing that they say at this stage, like to their friends, is I can do this and I can do that. Look what I can do. Look what, right? Because they're sharing their abilities. That's really what they're focused on, is what they can do. I can do this math. What math are you in? All this stuff. It's because they're kind of defining, you know, their ability and what they can do. And that's an important thing in this stage for them to figure that out and to hash that out with friends, whether it's, you know, athletically or socially or academically, like I said. So this is stage two. This is where our discipline, see, the bulk of our discipline hopefully will be done in ages 0 to 5, or not zero, but, you know, 1.5 or so to 5 years old, the heaviest disciplining, hopefully. And in this stage, doesn't mean you won't still be disciplining in this grade school stage, but in this stage, we transition a little bit more to training, because now we're able to talk about, okay, what happened with this friend, or what happened in this situation, and walk them through. And we really want to develop a culture in our home where we're like debriefing and talking through what happened, you know, whether they were at school or when they were at a friend's house, and all the things that happened, because we're training them and how to think about things and how to respond as a Christian to things. This is where that really begins in this stage. And we're helping them gain a sense of competency through our guidance and through helping them have successful experiences. That's what we should be thinking. How can we help them to find what they're good at and to feel good about those things? This is where we want to give them a lot of unconditional love and praise in this stage. Now, I know I'm going fast, but I need to. So let's look at the junior high stage. Now, this is actually a pretty important, I want to refocus. I think this is one that parents often, unawares, with good intentions, are resisting what's happening that God intended to happen at this stage, because this is the stage where they have been given an assignment by God to find their identity, basically to come into their identity, to figure out who they are apart from mom and dad, apart from their family. They're asking that question, who am I? And they are, for the first time, more than ever, I should say, looking outside of the family to answer that question, okay? They're caring a lot more about their friends. They're caring a lot more. Even it's starting to happen that they give a lot of weight to other adults or to the world around them or to pop culture or things like that, because this is they're actually needing to figure this out. They're needing to answer the question. And this is a stage where you're going to feel at some point in certain ways they are pulling away from you, and you're going to feel like something is wrong here. That's what it feels like. Or it's going to feel like rejection. Like they don't care about what I'm saying, or what these other people are saying is what they think is great, and they're not, you know, I said that a million times, but they think it's like, you know, genius, and this that their leader at, you know, youth group, hopefully those are the people influencing them, said this thing. Guys, that's what we want. They need that. They're looking outside of the family for a mirror to kind of understand who they are and to bounce things off of. They're also we can't take it as rejection. They don't want to go in your car now. They want to go in the other person's car. They don't want to open up now. They're just not going to share as much. They're going to kind of close off and distance themselves. Guys, this is all normal. And we shouldn't push against this. We shouldn't communicate to them that we think something's wrong that they're doing this. It's already a hard enough stage. We need to work with God and anticipate this is happening and communicate that it's just okay. It's not just okay. It's perfectly fine and good that this is happening because they're becoming their own person. And we're going to have to realize that we can't be our child's everything. They're going to need, you know, role models, adults, coaches, a mentor is a great thing at this stage of life, to someone to reinforce what you've been teaching them, because they need to say, yeah, this is, I've always up till now just believed what my parents believed and, you know, identified as part of my family, but now I need to figure out, do I believe this? And I need to establish my own faith, my own convictions. And that's really important that they do that, because God's preparing them to leave. You may not have realized that. You may not have been thinking as a parent from, you know, the first stage that what your job really is to prepare them to leave. You're preparing them to become their own independent adult that leaves the home, and that you know you're successful if that happens, okay? That leaves the home so they can start their own family and have, you know, that's God's intention in all of this. And parents make a mistake of trying to hold on and trying to, you know, I don't want to let go. I want to keep you dependent upon me. I'm going to make you feel guilty for pulling away from me. And that is going to, it's going to aggravate all parties. It's not going to work. It's not what God's doing in this stage. So the major event is social relationships. Again, they're looking outward. And the basic virtue is fidelity, because they're learning how to be faithful and loyal in relationships outside even more. I mean, you know, outside in a way that's not before. It doesn't mean that they don't still need you. You still need to be very involved in their life. You're still their coach. You still want to walk with them through all the things that are going on in their life. But just know that you're going to feel that, you know, they might limit a little bit how much they want to share, when they want to share, which also means you're going to have to be willing to, you're not going to be able to schedule the quality time at this stage all the time, because there's going to be times they want to talk and times they don't want to talk, and you just kind of have to take advantage of the times when they want to. So in this stage, the key is to confirm them, to help them know who they are. We're calling out the things that we see in them as parents that are part of who they are, who God's made them, and their identity, and we're blessing them and helping them establish that. Another thing parents' mistake they make in this time is that their kids start trying on just different things, different ways of talking, different music, different clothing styles, different attitudes. And we think, this isn't you. What are you thinking? What are you doing? I mean, they might even start saying like things that might scare us, like, you know, like that maybe they're going a different direction in their faith or something like that. But just know that this is something that's very normal. They're just trying all these things on to see, is this me? Is this me? Is this, how does this feel? And if we just allow them to kind of do that without a heavy reaction, then almost always they're like, yeah, that's not me. You know what I mean? It's just, it was just one little thing they had to try and just see what it felt like for a second. And to just not react as parents is actually the best thing we can do when that's happening, to let them explore, to let them test identities a little bit. It's okay. It's part of the process. It's kind of like, you know, if they start experiencing doubt about God, I remember Josh McDowell. Do you know Josh McDowell and his son, Sean McDowell? Well, Josh shares of a time where Sean was talking about doubts he was having. And he's, I don't know, maybe 17, 18. And Josh says, this is how he responded. Son, that's totally okay and actually a good thing, because that's actually a necessary part of developing your own faith. So I'm really glad that you're experiencing these doubts and asking these really good questions, because God wants you to establish your own faith. You've believed all these things because I've taught you, but now you have to decide what you believe on your own. And that was one of the best things and one of the wisest ways he could have, best things he could have done, wisest ways he could have responded. So, so at this stage, it kind of feels like a magnet that's been turned around. Like, you know, so the magnet was like pulling toward, there was a bonding happening, and then you turn the magnet around, and now it's like, you know, two magnets repelling each other. That's kind of what it can feel like at this stage. And then they hit high school and young adult, age 16 plus, this is where they're supposed to learn a sense and a ability. God's been growing in them through this process of change and becoming, going from childhood to adult. That started in junior high. He's been giving them all these new capacities, like a new spiritual capacity to have faith in God. That's why right around junior high, you want to make sure your kids are going to youth group and all of that, because this is when they're figuring out, what do I believe? And this is when they're most open and receptive to God. They're getting these new ability to experience emotions. So this age of, like, especially junior high is all, and, you know, is a real clumsy age, you know, 13, 14, 15, is a real clumsy age, because they're getting all these new abilities, you know, their bodies, you know, looking more adult, and they, you know, are tripping over their feet, their voice is cracking, you know, they're crying a lot because they're gaining these new emotional abilities, and it can feel overwhelming, and they just feel like, you know, it can feel really uncomfortable as this is all happening. But they're gaining an ability to go, to have deeper relationships, and that's when this at this 16 plus, that's when, you know, friends and close friends really becomes important. And the question here is, will I be loved or will I be alone? And the thing that they're really needing to learn is love, how to love, how to receive love, how to give love. They're learning how to be responsible as adults, and they're learning how to become a friend. And the stage of parenting changes, and it doesn't change, really. I should have this where it says stage 5, and it should say stage 4, if I could count. It should also say 18 plus right there, because you're really not becoming a friend at age 16. You're still coaching, but after 18, you're becoming a friend, because you're transitioning into that time where you're like, you know, look, I've taught you, you're going to have to, you know, you are, I hope you make the right decision here, right? You're transitioning more toward that, where you are letting them really form their own convictions. You already have been. In junior high, you started giving them more freedom, hopefully. You started enabling them to develop more of their own faith and convictions, and then that just increases in that final stage. So I go into great depth in a 4-week class on teenage parenting that I do in September, if you ever want to take that, because, I mean, it was hard for me right now because there's so much I want to say, just skimming the surface. What about in March? Yeah, I'll work on that. All right. Yeah. I know, we're actually going to try to video both parenting classes so they're available to anybody whenever they need it, so. So we want to understand all the things that God's doing in each stage so we can hop on board, we can help them, and not work against, not resist the change, but to embrace it, help our kids to embrace it. And likely came to mind as you're going through this, as you're looking back at stages that some of you or looking back at stages and God, man, I don't know if I did the greatest there because I didn't understand what they really needed. And I'll just say this, that in many cases, it's not too late to go back and to start, you know, investing in that deficit that was there. And kind of figuring out how can I nurture this need now? If I didn't really meet this need really well before, is there a way I can kind of nurture it now and kind of go back? And a lot of times when your kids are still younger, they're receptive to that. They really actually will receive that from you. And I'll also say that if there are things that your kids are aware of that you've done, that it's good to, you know, here's what we want to do if we realize there's a deficit. We want to confess to God and ask Him to just forgive us and give us grace for where we're at now. We want to apologize to our kids if it's things that we've done or haven't done that they're aware of, and acknowledge that and pursue their forgiveness. And really make a change in that area. I want to shift gears for the last few minutes here and just say that God intended each stage not just to transform them, but to transform us as parents. And one of the ways that happens, I mean, we're going to grow because we're stretched and everything's changing, so we're going to grow. But one of the ways that happens is that we have unresolved issues from our past. That happened at particular ages and stages. And so what often happens is that our kids enter a certain stage and all of a sudden we're struggling with something in a way we weren't struggling with before. And what it often is something, again, that's unresolved when we were in that age or stage. I'll just give you a couple of examples. I've seen it play out in other people's lives, but the examples I could remember best were my own examples. Because I remember when my kids were probably around, they were in that preschool age, toddler preschool, and I remember as much as I wanted to be a dad that just invested and had them in my world, it was so hard for me because I was just always like, nope, you're messing that up, nope, don't touch that, nope, don't, like, it just, anytime I tried to do things, I was feeling this frustration and impatience because they weren't doing it up to the standard I wanted them to do it. And they, you know, they couldn't. They're young. But still, I was just dealing with this frustration. And I had been counseled that this is something that happens. So I asked myself this question, what was I going through at this age and stage? And all of a sudden, I instantly just see my dad doing the exact same thing to me. Just, I could never do good enough. He's always like, don't touch that. Don't. Get off that. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I could never be part of his world. And what I had always felt like with my dad is I wasn't enough. So just get out of the way. And so what did I do? How do I resolve that? God brought it up through my kids at this age and stage. So now I resolve it by forgiving my dad and repenting of the judgment that I had held on to still toward him for being that way all my life, and repenting of the dependence on my flesh to not be like him. It's called an inner vow. Can't get in much into that. And say, God, forgive me. I can't do better than him on my own. It's only your grace that's going to help me right now. So forgive me for judging him. Forgive me for trying to be different on my own, and would you just help me to be patient with my kids? And there was really something that broke in me at that time, and, you know, still wasn't my greatest strength, but it helped. I'm going to give you one other, it changed. Things, dynamic changed. I'm going to give you one other quick example, and that is when a couple of my kids hit junior high age, I was feeling a lot of critical attitude toward them, and this weird feeling of, like, caring what, like, their friends were doing or what they thought. It's just this weird kind of insecurity in me, which is just weird. Like, why am I feeling this? And so I went to the Lord with it, and I asked the question, because I've learned this, where was I at this age? Well, I was feeling all kinds of rejection and self-rejection, and, like, I just didn't like myself. I didn't think I measured up. I was hard on myself. And I realized I was actually treating them the exact way I treated myself at this stage. So the only way I could love them and not feel that way with them is if I went back. And so, you know, I just spent time with the Lord. I'm a counselor, so I kind of walked myself through some steps I'd walk someone else through. And I let go. I was able to challenge some beliefs I had never dealt with. It was always there, those beliefs I had as a kid that something's wrong with me or something. And I didn't like myself. So I was able to just say, to change the belief and to say, you know what? I really do change the way I feel about myself. I went back almost in my head and just kind of embraced that junior high Danny who was feeling all these things and spoke to him. And then kind of put myself in that memory and kind of received that truth. It's kind of a weird thing, but I had this exchange with the Lord, and it kind of broke and just lifted off. So that's what I mean, that God will use the ages and stages to bring to the surface things that God wants to heal in you. And that's a good thing, right? Because what else would bring those things up in us and deal with those things God wants to change? So that's it. I know we had to fit a lot in. I hope that just at the very least that your awareness is open, that there are different objectives at each age and stage. And as a parent, that one of the things to build confident kids is to be aware of what is God doing, how can I get on board? One of the things that will blow your kids' confidence is unknowingly, unaware, good intentions working against what God's doing in those stages. And so we want to be with God and be on board with Him. So let me pray for you guys and let you get off to lunch. So Lord, I just want to thank you for these moms and their kids and the gift that those kids are, Lord God. And we just want to pray just that the wisdom level will grow in us, your people, Lord, your parents of these kids, to understand, Lord, just how you build a person and how we can partner. So we just pray your grace, Lord, where there's grace needed, where there's need for growth, where there's need for healing. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to work in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.